Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I am Bruce Salen, and it is time for Therapy Talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who is a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents in many wonderful ways. She's been affectionately referred to as the Super Nanny of Springfield, and she is back with us again. Welcome to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Hi, Bruce. It's always good to be here.
I always want to cut my introduction down because I want more of the wisdom that you offer, not only me, but our listeners. And we have decided to talk about whatever you want to talk about. So on the break, you told me the topic. So let's share with our listeners what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I want to talk to everyone about how to talk to your kids about getting divorced. We've got close to a 50% divorce rate in this country for first marriages, and it's even higher for subsequent marriages.
Which is really surprising. And it's
unbelievable.
But it's true. It's like you'd think people would learn, but we tend to repeat patterns.
It's a very significant statistic, and a large percentage of those homes have children involved. So that means there's a really good chance that you've either been the parent or know a parent who's had to tell their kids that, you know, mom and dad are getting a divorce. And it's a really tricky conversation to have. It's very intimidating for a lot of parents. I don't, you know, pretend to make this any easier, but I'm hoping to provide some knowledge and education to help guide parents through this conversation.
I got to tell you that the day that my ex-wife and I told our two boys, which is like 12 years ago, 13 years ago, whatever it was, a long time ago, is seared in my memory. So now I'm a little bit worried as I hear your list. Will we have done it right or wrong per your suggestion? So go ahead. I know you probably have a list of things that we should and should not do.
I've broken it down into three categories: before the talk, during the talk, and after the talk. And then I have three don'ts at the end. And hopefully I never, ever want to make you feel bad about anything that's happened in the past, but, you know, the more we can learn, the better we can grow. So
no worries.
Start with before the talk.
I already screwed it up. We did nothing before the talk. I'm kidding.
Your circumstance might have been very different.
No, I'm kidding.
Though.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, please.
Ideally, you and your partner should discuss ahead of time and even come up with sort of a loose script for how the conversation is going to go, because you just said that the conversation is seared in your memory, and it's the same thing for your kids. The conversation kind of gets seared in their memory.
I think even more so.
You want to be prepared.
Even more so. Yes.
You want to be prepared, and you want to be effective, but at the same time, you and your spouse want to be on the same page. Even if you're not on the same page in reality about the divorce during the conversation, you want to be on the same page. So part of that is just having your logistical details prepared in advance. For example, you're going to want to figure out where everyone's going to be sleeping. If mom's moving out or dad's moving out, where are they moving to? How often are the kids going to see each parent? All that kind of stuff you want to sort of work out.
So you want to know that before you tell the kids.
Yeah, so when you tell them, you can give them a plan. Even if once the divorce is finalized, the attorneys change all that, it doesn't matter. You just want to know for now. You want to choose a time to talk to them when the kids are alert and not distracted. You don't want to tell them before they go off to school in the morning or right before they leave the house for an important event. You want to just make sure they have time to process that. At the same time,
or not before they go to bed.
Not before they go to bed. Right. Yeah, because they might have a big reaction. You want time to take care of that. But you don't want to tell them so far in advance of the changes that now this event is sort of looming ahead in the future. Hmm. You know, once you have the conversation, you want to be prepared, you know, maybe in the next week that these new changes are going to go into place. As far as the content of the conversation, you want to choose your words carefully. The younger they are, the simpler of an explanation you want to give, because you want to make sure it's age appropriate. So it could, you know, if they've seen the fighting, you could say, you know, mom and dad, we've been fighting a lot and we've decided it's better off if we live separately, or you could say we've grown apart. Something very simple, especially if they're younger. But after that, the message should be that mom and dad will always love you and take care of you. You want to reassure them of that, because if they get the idea that mom and dad could stop loving each other, does that mean that they can stop loving me? You want to sort of, you know, reassure them that right away, that mommy and daddies don't stop loving their children.
Okay. So far, by the way, I've passed the checklist.
I'm so relieved.
My first question, though, in response to what you said so far, to interrupt you, forgive me, is what do you do when the partner is not willing to do it with you?
It's unfortunate that that happens, or you just can't agree and you think the conversation is going to be toxic to do it together,
right,
then you have no choice to do it by yourself. But that's why I said ideally to do this together, and that you're both talking and both saying the same things. It's the ideal.
I know.
Unfortunately,
okay.
We don't always live the ideal.
Well,
as during the talk goes.
Yes, please.
And I say this, and it's just so hard to do it in reality, but you want to try your best to be calm. If your kids see that you're upset, they're going to respond to that. And you don't want them thinking that mommy and daddy are not okay. Because this is about making sure that they're okay. So as much as you can to be calm. But that doesn't mean that they have to be calm. So really be prepared to be open to hearing their feelings and help them with those feelings. You don't want to sort of minimize it or tell them it's going to be okay and don't worry, because you really want to make sure that they have a chance to express their feelings.
And that includes crying, I assume.
Yeah, and lots of hugs and kisses and reassurances. And it's okay to say everything's going to be okay, but not to the point where you're not allowing them to express. You want to be prepared to answer some questions.
Okay.
The questions could be really obvious, and they might be really unusual. You just want to be prepared for anything. They might have some distorted beliefs about why you're getting a divorce, and they might think, is it because that, I did this or I did that? You just want to be prepared to answer all those questions. And again, lots of reassurance that they're loved and are always going to be taken care of. And no blame or animosity during the talk as much as possible.
That's a big as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't do them any good for them to see more of the fighting, more of the bickering, more of the blaming. It's awkward and uncomfortable, and it makes them feel like they have to choose a side.
Okay, so now after the talk.
Okay. Kids have various reactions to news like this. It's really hard to predict. I mean, some are relieved because they've been exposed to the fighting for so long, they're looking forward to some peace. Some are scared, some are angry, but there are some general patterns that we can see when it comes to age. For example, with younger kids, divorce is more likely to cause some repression. It's almost as if they're saying, if mom can stop loving dad, can she stop loving me? So they become really needy and clingy to make sure that they're being taken care of. Just know that that's normal. Give lots of extra hugs and kisses and reassurance. It's temporary, hopefully. If it's not temporary, you want to get some counseling. But, their world has been shaken, and so that's how they're responding. Whereas older kids or teenagers might actually spark them to become suddenly more independent. So it's like, well, if I can't rely on you, then I'm going to rely on myself. Or if you don't care about hurting me, then I don't care about hurting you, and then become really rebellious sometimes. So sort of the opposite reactions in different ages.
Mm-hmm.
Just know it's normal and it's okay, and they're just needing to work through it. So that's about after the talk.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to make sure, someone mentioned this as the three R's, and I think they're really great: routines, rituals, and reassurance. Setting up routines, predictable patterns, and how the family's going to go, even if you're at separate houses now, but the routines are generally the same. Family rituals give you a sense of continuity and family orientation, and lots of reassurance. I want to
okay, that's what that's what I need. But now, what about the kids?
We all need it, right? It's so soothing for all of us. So I've got my three don'ts, and I know this is going to spark some conversation between you and I.
Okay.
Number one, don't badmouth your ex in front of the children. It does absolutely nothing for their sense of security to think that mom or dad is a jerk.
Okay, I'm going to hear all three before I react.
Number two, do not put your child in the middle. That means don't ask them tons of questions. What did you do at dad's house? What did he feed you? Where did he take you? What time did you go to bed? Did anyone sleep over? Do not need to ask them questions about that. And don't make them relay inappropriate messages to each other. You guys need to be speaking directly. You want to just kind of take the focus off the kids in that way. Let them just love mom and love dad in their own way and not feel like they have to choose sides. And third is, if you're one of those parents that's only seeing your child on weekends, don't feel you have to make their visit fun and entertaining. You don't have to make up for lost time by jam-packing activities and doing fun things and buying toys and making it exciting. Just create a normal routine that's very similar to when you lived in the household, and that'll work better.
Okay. I do not have a strong reaction to any of those three don'ts. I actually agree with all of them. The problem, I would say, is what do you do when you follow those and your ex or soon-to-be ex doesn't?
It's so hard, and I see that all the time. And I don't think that any one person is always truly innocent of these three things. I think we tend to notice what our spouse is doing because, you know, it's just more overt. But helping your child to deal with those kinds of comments without belittling your ex by saying, well, you know, daddy's bad for making those kinds of comments and he really shouldn't be doing that and he should know better is not helpful because now you're doing it too. But,
and then
you know,
then it becomes tit for tat, which is really what...
tit for
what,
tat.
Yeah, and that's so hard to resist. That is
so,
so hard
awkward.
To resist. I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to hear more of a response to this, but as always, we seem to want to come back and do it again. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, Dr. Jennifer.
I blog at theparentingplayground.com, and on Facebook, we're there under the same name, and I always post more often on Facebook. And at Dad Chat on Twitter, I'm always at @DR_Weberman.
Thank you very much. We'll be back for some closing remarks after these messages.
What did they do just when everything looked so dark? You've got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.